That was not the lie of the day. That was for real.
It's an interesting challenge, John. I would challenge you to do, obviously during Lakers season, it doesn't make any sense. But during the summertime, I would challenge you to try it.
Oh, not only would I try it, I'd like to go like off the grid for a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks with no internet, no phone, no texting?
Why not?
I don't think you're capable of it.
I don't either, but only one way to find out.
36 hours I had a hard time with.
You can do it. I do it once. I do it for 10 days every year.
By the way, when I go to Hawaii, I don't really use my computer or my phone. So I mean,
you don't text. You don't.
Nah, who cares?
I have an honest question for one of you.
Yeah.
Hey, Bergman.
Yeah, what's up?
Did you really go on the Peloton yesterday or no?
I did really go on the Peloton yesterday. I absolutely did. I did a 20-minute class.
Who was the teacher?
I forgot what the guy's name was.
Of course you did.
He lied.
No, I absolutely went on it. It went on with my buddy. We were on FaceTime, and we were on the Peloton together.
So I got an email from Jordan Pedrin. You can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. He said, hello, I listen to you guys every afternoon. Heard Greg wanted to get rid of his bike. I'll take over the payments. I would love to grab that bike from him because, if we're honest, if he hasn't gotten into a habit yet, he won't anytime soon.
Well, Bergman, that guy sounds like he'll take over your payments.
He'll take over your payment.
I know. Somebody hit me on DM for it also. Ozzie
Ortega. There it is. Do it.
Oh, yeah, because I got on it yesterday, and so now I kind of feel like I'm going to start doing it again.
Yeah, but you're only going to do it for one more week, and then you're going to give up again.
I mean, probably, but you know, the guy will still be there in a week.
Boy, that's like that's somebody giving you a get out of jail free card, man.
I know, but like then I still feel really bad about myself.
No, start go run around the block, get a dog, and walk.
Yeah,
I have a dog. I walk her all the time.
Yeah, just walk.
Now Amanda's saying she'll take my freaking Peloton.
See, everybody wants your Peloton.
She won't. Amanda won't assume your payments in full. These other two guys will.
She said she offered to.
She said I'll take your. She's here, Amanda. Come in here and you can talk.
Wait a minute, Amanda offered to take your payments in full.
Yeah, she said I'll pay it off in full.
Yep, wow. So
well, that's a good deal for both of you.
I mean, it is, and I want to help her out. But
wait, they're helping you out. Wait
a minute, they're helping you out.
I want to get into the habit, though. This is the problem. I actually want to use it. I bought it because I wanted to use it.
Yes, but no one, including you, has any faith that you'll do that.
What? I got to have faith in myself, right?
You have no faith in yourself. Admit it.
No, I mean.
You said yesterday it's a clothes hanger.
It was. I took all that off the day before, actually. So I was getting myself mentally ready for it. I'm going to start going on it. If I don't go on it in a month, Amanda, then you can take it.
All right. So you intend to try this now?
Yes, I intend to try it. I want to get into a habit.
Put money in it. On it.
Put money in the Peloton?
Bergman, it would make you do it if you put mythical money
exactly.
on it.
Well, you put mythical money on me to lose weight, and that didn't work. But
that's true. Good point. That didn't work. Yeah, I take it back. Totally
but no, I'll put mythical money for the end of the year. Okay, let's do this. Let's actually do this. By the end of the year, by December 31st.
Okay.
How many times do I need to be on the Peloton?
Well, no,
wait a minute. There's no way to check that. We have to look at the results. How much
There's a Peloton app. I have a Peloton app. I can track.
Greg, what do you weigh now?
When I weighed myself
yesterday,
it was 204.
Oh, yeah, bring a scale tomorrow. That's good. Corey will bring a scale.
Yeah, we'll all weigh in tomorrow. That's a good idea.
Okay, but yeah, all right, so what did we have to do? You can see it on my Peloton app. I can take pictures and send you what I do on the Peloton app.
Yeah, we don't trust you. We want to judge
the app.
By
You're
weight,
not trusting
which
me.
Is the final result.
No, you don't have to trust me. You have to trust the Peloton app.
Yeah, I'm not sure I trust you or the app.
Yeah. I just want to know how much, I'll put 50 grand on it.
50 grand on what?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. We're working this out. It's a negotiation.
That you'll do the Peloton like 5 times a week?
5 times a week is a lot of times
people
a week.
People do it 7 times a week.
Yeah, I know, right? People do it. How about
do it every day.
How about 3 times a week?
That's not hard.
Yes, one time is hard, Mace.
If you can't ramp yourself up to do 3 times, I ride my bike every single day.
Final offer, 4 times a week through till December 31st.
20 times a month.
20 times a month, which is 4 weeks. That's five,
that's
times,
five
a
times a
week.
No,
don't,
it's a little
don't mess
less
with me.
Than. No, it's just 31 days in a month.
Right.
So if you did it 5 times a week, you would be, you would have it over in 20 days. But I'm giving you 11-day grace period.
17 times.
17 times a month.
That's 4 times a week plus an extra.
Ireland, you taking that bet?
I think we need to negotiate for 20. Because, Greg, 31 times a month would be every day, right?
Yeah, you're telling me that's 11 days and sometimes only 10 days. Like November is only 30 days.
Listen. Greg, 31 days a month, or let's say make it easier on you, 30 days a month, okay?
Okay.
So if you did it five times a week,
that's all right, a lot.
No, then you say there's only 4 weeks in a month, then that's 20.
Right.
It gives you 11. It gives you every weekend off plus three additional days. 20 is reasonable.
Plus, you're only riding for 20 minutes.
Right, but I need
you're
to give myself.
You're only doing a 20-minute ride. If you
Greg,
went to
I'm
like...
giving you every weekend off plus three grace period days.
Right, they're helping
you're here,
dude.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I this is why I'm still doing this. But at the same time, like, if it takes me a lot just to get onto it one time, then 20 times a month just seems like a lot. Like, the highest I'll go
if
is 18.
If you're arguing over 18, then you should just give Amanda the bike.
Yeah. No. 18, like, just to start and just go right into it right now, 18 is reasonable.
What do you think, John?
I'll take it, but I think it's too generous.
That means that's 50K loss for you and 50K.
No. It's strictly you're betting against yourself.
I'm betting against myself?
You get 50 too high, or then. You lose. Okay, then what do you want to do? You want to do 25?
Yeah, let's do.
Oh, showing less and less confidence.
No. It's just
25
a lot of money.
Is, 25 is reasonable. 25 grand.
25 grand that I have to do it 18 times a month.
November just started. It's November 2nd.
And I went yesterday. I went
and you
yesterday.
You rode yesterday.
Yeah, okay, so that's yesterday. 17 more times in the month of November.
Right.
We'll do this on January, and you have to have proof on your app.
Yep.
December 1st, where I'm in town. December 1st, we have a show that day. We will either pay off the bet. You'll either win it or lose it.
And if I lose it, I have to give the Peloton to Amanda.
Amanda. You lose 25K in mythical money.
Right. So wow. There's a lot of incentive here.
If you win, you get to keep the Peloton, and you get 25.
You I better get All your right. ass on that bike every day, man.
We're doing it.
All right, we've been putting this off. Let's do it now. Wheel of Questions is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Let's give her a spin, Ore. Okay. What would you do if a time traveler told you you will become president 10 years from now?
Me.
What would you do if a time traveler told you that you will become president 10 years from now?
I would move to Italy. I mean, seriously, would you want to be president in the way our country is divided right now? Immediately, the day you become president, half the people hate you.
Correct.
Regardless if you even did anything wrong. If you do, like... Pick a president, Trump, Biden, half the people hate him.
Right off the bat.
Right out of the gate. Half the people hate you. I don't want all that hate in my life.
I think it is the worst damn job in the world. I would not want that job. First of all, if you told me I'm going to be the president in 10 years,
yeah.
I would immediately delete every social media post I've ever made. Right? Wouldn't that be the smart? Because they would be digging crap up on you nonstop if you were the president. But I just think it's a terrible gig. Now, what about you, Jorge?
I wouldn't do it. But you know what? This is my first campaign that I'm doing, so vote for Jorge.
That would mean, if Jorge, if you became president, that would mean the vote for Jorge campaign went viral.
Yeah. Wow.
And it became people just couldn't get enough of it, and you wrote it all the way to the White House. Now, man. Bergman. If you became president, would you take the Peloton to the White House with you?
Absolutely. It's going to be in the Oval Office. So while I'm actually like signing bills, I'd be on the Peloton.
You know, Biden does have a Peloton.
Do you think he uses it?
I mean, he's pretty fit for a man of, what is he,
late
86
70s,
or
he?
Something?
No, he's late 70s, I think.
Late 70s? He seems pretty fit. I kind of
buy
it.
You've got to be me.
I'm going to... you know, if all goes wrong... excuse me. If all goes wrong here at ESPN... And my congresswoman, Karen Bass, is going to run for mayor. I would run for her open congressional seat.
Oh, really? What's your platform? Like, what are some of the things that you would promise the people if they voted?
Well, there's really one promise.
It better have the word traffic in it, because if you're not going to address the traffic, I'm not voting for you.
No, it's I'll make all your dreams come true.
That's Jorge.
There you go.
That's Jorge's platform.
I'll make
platform.
All your dreams come through.
That's my platform.
Own, you're going to have... Hey, no, Mace, this is you. This could be your platform. I used to be straight. Now I'm gay. No matter where you are in your life, I've been there. I will help all walks of people. You're
yeah,
the everyman.
That's good.
Yeah.
I would probably run as an independent, and I would say I'm only going to vote for stuff that makes sense.
Do you know who Steve Soboroff is?
Steve Soboroff, is he a county commissioner, maybe?
He used to be, but he's a local businessman. His son, Jacob, is a really good reporter at MSNBC.
Okay.
But the way I know Steve is he's a giant Clippers fan. He has season tickets to the Clippers.
Ah, that's too bad for him.
He sits courtside. No, he likes it. So he ran for mayor right around the time. I can't remember if it was when Han won or when Villaraigosa won, but right around that time, okay?
Yep.
And his whole platform was, I'm going to fix the traffic in Los Angeles. And I thought he would win in a landslide.
Yeah.
Because everyone hates traffic. And it didn't work. He didn't get enough votes to even make it to the runoff. But I think can you imagine if some person in Los Angeles was able to run and say, I've got a solution to fix traffic, and then boom, that person would be a hero. They'd make movies about that person.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how you do it.
I have no idea how you fix traffic. By the way, I am of the belief that San Diego has worse traffic than LA.
You're wrong.
I mean, I'm down there all the time because once
mom
and stepdad lived down there.
It is
terrible down there. It is terrible down there. What a snag. Right when you get around the fairgrounds and the racetrack, it is just a mess down there. Our traffic is bad, but you know what? Our traffic is reliably bad. Like, I know what I'm going to get. I know approximately what I'm going to get when I go out on the freeways here in L.A. Down there, you get totally snagged up. Not a fan of down there. And by the way, there's a big movement right now that LA no longer has the worst traffic in the country. It's now Boston.
Really?
Never driven in Boston, but supposedly now the worst traffic in the world, according to the internet.
Well, for years, and I think it's still going on, they had this thing. Somebody from Boston will tell me if it's still happening. They had this thing called the Big Dig.
Oh, yeah.
And it was going to take like 5 years. And it took like 20 years. And I think there's still like after effects of it. And it was basically like all of downtown was under construction for 20 years. So I could see how they would have the biggest traffic problems in the country. And by the way, they estimated it was going to cost something like, I don't know, you know, $10 million. And it ended up costing like $1 billion.
Yeah,
they're way off. So, yeah, Boston's a mess.
All right, coming up next for you, Lakers. We joke about Greg being on the JV team. The JV team is in town right now.
Both of them, actually.
The Houston Rockets. Is OKC already here?
Yeah, they lost to the Clippers last night.
Okay, so Houston and OKC both hanging out. Do the Lakers stick with that new starting lineup? 877-710-ESPN. Want to react to anything we got going on the show today? We're all over the board. 877-710-ESPN. You can always tweet the show at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L.A. Ireland. And you can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. Also, in 20 minutes, Les Snead, the mastermind behind the Von Miller trade, is going to join us. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dumb, but it's a great moment that we play. That's the only moment that we play back from McVay interviews. That one right there, John.
Yeah, and by the way, here, you know, kind of combining some of these stories we've been talking about. Vinny Bonsignor, remember our friend Bonnie?
Yes, Bonnie.
So he covers the
Raiders now.
Yeah, he left the market a couple of years ago, moved to Vegas, and he covers the Raiders for a newspaper in Vegas. He says DeSean Jackson to the Raiders is a real possibility in light of what happened, the tragedy with Henry Ruggs today.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So keep an eye on that. That's a possibility.
All right. So, by the way, I just got offered a movie role, John.
Oh, really? What are they asking you to play?
They're asking me to play a radio program director.
Okay.
I'm perfect for it. I used to be a radio program director.
Wait a minute. We have some demands. As your agent, I have some demands. What is the role?
The role is a radio program director. I'm the boss of the lead character, and I am a real jackass.
All right, so you're like Paul Giamatti, pig vomit in Private Parts.
Exactly, that's who I am.
Okay, what is the movie?
I don't think I'm allowed to say the name of the movie yet.
Okay, who are you allowed to say who it stars?
I will just say Olivia Munn might be involved.
Okay, you, as your agent, I want you to ask for name above Olivia Munn's.
Name above Olivia
right.
Munn, yeah.
So wherever she drops in, you know, if it says, you know, in the beginning when the credits roll and it says Olivia Munn, before we see Olivia Munn, I want Steve Mason.
I'm in.
Steve Mason, Olivia Munn, name of the movie, let's go.
Hey, what's your character's name?
Is it Pig
Is
Vomit?
Is this one of those bits that you like to do?
What bits? No, man.
I can't tell you.
We're talking
you
about this role.
Name.
Just what's his character's name?
I can't tell you my character's name.
All right, whatever.
It's obviously very top secret.
It is top. I mean, you don't want to reveal stuff like that when it's not, you know, maybe the cake isn't fully baked. I probably shouldn't even mention Olivia Munn, but I was excited to see her on the list.
So where's it based out of? Like, are you the program director of, like, WKNAR or whatever you said your name
93
was?
93QWRQN?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, where is it at?
Do you know, are you allowed to say what Kansas type City? Of radio station is? Is it a talk station?
It's a talk radio station.
Sports? Okay. Non-sports?
It is a sports talk radio station.
Entertainment news?
Nope, sports talk radio station. Okay. That's all I can say so far. And by the way, if you've got other offers for me, I'm always looking for roles, venicemace@gmail.com. Thank you very much for reaching out. I appreciate that. By the way, a lot of people, Greg, say that your explanation about using the Peloton, it sounds like you're backpedaling.
Oh, see what they did there.
Sounds like you're backpedaling. All right. And another note, and I got this from a bunch of people. Apparently, Biden does use a Peloton, but was not allowed to bring it to the White House because of the risk of some kind of security breach.
Oh, yeah, the internet connection, that it connects to outside people. It was like when President Obama was elected, he had to give up his BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed
to. It wasn't secure.
All right. God darn it.
That was very professional. Whatever.
Very
you can turn off the mic, man.
I'm trying. I'll turn the mic off next time. So tonight the Lakers back on the floor against the Houston Rockets. They beat them on Sunday. A good defensive performance for the Lakers. Although this is really classically, John, this is an absolute rebuild from the ground up, this team.
Houston, yeah. They have 4 19-year-olds. Jalen Green, one of them, is pretty good. Potential rookie of the year candidate.
He is good, yeah.
But here's the weird thing, Mace. Do you realize that if the Lakers would not have blown that 26-point lead in Oklahoma City, that they'd be in a 5-game winning streak? They've won 4 out of 5. They lost their first two, and they're now 4-3, but they would be 5-2 had they not blown that game in OKC. They've got a chance to put together a little bit of a streak here now. They've won 2 in a row since they lost in OKC. Tonight would be 3 against Houston. They play OKC again Thursday, and they play a Portland team that has struggled a little bit in Portland on Saturday.
Yeah, and then Portland's, 3-3, I think, right?
Yeah, and then the schedule gets harder. LaMelo Ball and Charlotte come in on Monday.
LaMelo is a star.
Yeah, and then the I think the Chicago Bulls are coming to town,
too.
No,
home to Miami. Home to
Miami,
Minnesota.
That's right. Charlotte,
home to
Miami,
San Antonio,
Minnesota.
Home to Chicago.
Yeah, so Chicago's week after that. But Charlotte and Miami will be 2 real games, Monday and Wednesday of next week.
For all LeVar Ball's hooting and hollering about his kids, LaMelo Ball is easily the best of them. He is going to be – I think he'll be an all-star this year, right?
Yeah, and Lonzo's really good too this year in
Chicago. Yeah, Lonzo's having a good run in Chicago.
Yeah, and the guy that everybody's got to move over for, and I don't care how many great guards are in the league, and you can tell me – you got to show respect for Devin Booker and Chris Paul and Damian Lillard and Steph Curry, blah, 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 blah. I know Donovan Mitchell. I know all these guys are great players with all-star resumes. If Ja Morant's not on the all-star team, it's a joke. Ja Morant has to be on the all-star team. He's playing better than everybody. Even Steph. He's having a better year so far than Steph. So Ja Morant's got to be in the mix this year.
Yeah. By the way, they're likely to go. What's the status of Dwight Howard? You might know.
Sore neck. I wouldn't be surprised if he played. But if they start this lineup they started against Houston 2 nights ago, where Anthony Davis starts at the five and DeAndre Jordan backs him up off the bench, it's not imperative you get Dwight back tonight because you can use DJ as the backup center.
So they go Westbrook, Avery Bradley, who's a plus defender, Bazemore, who's a plus defender, LeBron, and AD with DeAndre off the bench. Their defensive rating, by the way, has improved dramatically after these last couple of games. They're number 16 in defensive rating. You know where they're getting hurt a lot is second chance points. They're getting hurt a lot on the boards on second chance points. They're 22nd in defensive rebounds. But their net rating is number 8 in the league right now.
Why is that, Ireland? Why are they bad at off defensive rebounds if they have a bunch of height
size.
And
yeah.
they have Russell Westbrook who gets a ton of rebounds? LeBron gets a ton of rebounds. Why are they so low in rebounds?
It's a good question. I think part of it is that because Anthony Davis is often the big that's on the floor and AD takes outside shots sometimes, he operates away from the basket, that they don't have rebounders underneath there when AD shoots from the outside. So that's just one theory. But eventually that should correct. They should get back to, I mean, like Cleveland, when they were in here last week, had all this size. They had Evan Mobley and Lauri Markkanen and Jared Allen. And they were just out-rebounded the Clippers 57-36. But when the Lakers started, DeAndre Jordan, Anthony Davis, and LeBron up front, all tall guys, it didn't work out that way. So I think the answer is somewhere in the fact that those guys all operate away from the rim.
Austin Reeves, Frank Vogel was talking about today. Austin Reeves has become sort of a player that fans really love. Said both sides of the ball, teams think that they can target him, but he really moves his feet well, puts his body in front of the ball, plays with toughness and scraps and loose ball situations. He plays just a scrappy brand of basketball. Offensively, the poise that he plays with offensively is very surprising for a rookie. You know, he's got the best net rating of any player on the team. To throw out that number,
his doesn't
net
surprise
rating
me.
Is
he's
plus
always
6.
Around
1.
The yeah, he's always around the ball. Doesn't make mistakes. Did you guys, there's a great story that Kyle Goon wrote for the Southern California News Group about the fact that Austin Barnes and Malik Monk come from the same county in Arkansas.
Wow.
And they played against each other in the 8th grade, and he's got a picture of them playing against each other in the 8th grade. Really interesting story. But what are the odds that two guys from the same county in Arkansas both end up on a 13-man Laker roster? But it's true. Monk and Reeves grew up together.
That's crazy. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, Les Snead is going to join us, the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams. Plus,
he's
John, you know, I see
a
lot of movies. I have seen the worst movie of the year.
Really?
Hands down. It's a big one, and it's the worst movie of the year. I'll tell you what it is next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Les Snead's going to be with us any minute. Make sure you're here for that. Then we got Jump Ball at 2:45. And at some point, I'm just going to tell you up front, I have not told the lie yet. I have not told the lie. I'm not supposed to tip it, but I've not told the lie yet, which means sometime between now and 3:30, I will tell a lie. If you can identify it, you will win a pair of tickets to go see the Rams and the Titans Sunday night football at SoFi Stadium. So, John
and
mentioned
a vote for Jorge t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. And a vote for Jorge t-shirt?
Oh, let's give them away.
The one.
Okay.
Home.
The last vote
last
for
one.
Jorge
one
t-shirt.
One of a kind.
One of one. So, John, I go to the movies a lot. And even I never really quit. I quit for a while there, but I'm back in theaters now. So I go to see this movie that I was really excited for. And I found it to be the most ridiculously complicated, overwrought, disappointing movie of the year. Hmm. And it is Dune.
No!
Really?
It is so frigging confusing. I have no idea what's going on through the entire movie. It stars, let's see, who's in Dune? That Timothy Chalamet guy?
Oh, yeah.
Zendaya.
Zendaya's in it, but she's barely in it. Jason Momoa's in it. Josh Brolin, Oscar Isaac. So it's a bunch of people in there. The thing that I'll say about it, and I think this is fair and without giving anything away, there's no resolution to it. It's really only the first part, and it literally ends with end of part one. So it never wraps up.
You have to wait and see the second movie. I was really disappointed. Each of those movies is supposed to stand alone, right? You want to go see a movie. You don't ever want to see end of part one and then leave everything hanging. But that's what Dune does. I don't have that kind of time.
That's what Lord of the Rings did. What's the difference?
I was never a big Lord of the Rings guy. And didn't they have some sort of resolution at the end of each? Wasn't there like some mountain they climbed and some accomplishment that they reached?
I think they at some point. I think the second one there really wasn't any resolution to it.
Yeah, like I know they did that with The Matrix. I hated The Matrix Revolutions one, which was basically two parts of one movie. I don't want to go see them. I want the movie to be able to stand alone, and Dune doesn't. John, you would hate this movie. It is
a bunch of
weird language and
it
hokey.
It starts slow,
and then the middle part is really slow, and then the end part is really slow. It's just slow. So steer clear of that. But I'm really excited for Eternals this week. John, you're not a Marvel guy, but Bergman, are you excited for Eternals?
Yeah, I am excited. It's a whole new world. I liked it at the very beginning. They just explained to you why they couldn't do anything when Thanos was around. So, yeah, I'm very excited.
I don't know any of these characters, though.
I don't know.
It stars John Richard Madden, who I know your wife is in love with, Angelina Jolie, Salma Hayek, Kit Harington from Game of Thrones, Kumail Nanjiani. Stars all those guys. I don't know these superhero characters myself. I think you have to be deep in the comics to even understand what they are, right? Greg?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they are. They're gods. Yeah, that's as far as I know. I don't know much about it.
No,
yeah,
not really.
Not really. Coach, are you excited to see Eternals?
No, not really.
You gotta be me.
It's a monkey sound. Sure. All to say Les Snead is running a little bit late. So we were talking about the game between Morningside and Inglewood yesterday. And Inglewood beat them 106-0, I think,
yep,
was the final score.
That's
yep
it.
So my alma mater, Bowling Green, pulled a trick like this weekend. They were up 49-44. The ball was in their hands. They were playing Buffalo. Buffalo could not stop them, right? So this is a kneel-down situation, victory formation. Instead of running the victory formation, the quarterback faked the kneel-down and then sprinted around the end and ran all the way for a touchdown. Now, what is the point of doing that except to piss Buffalo off for the next time you play them?
Yeah, I didn't understand that one either. Other than maybe they didn't think they had it locked up yet, but all evidence to the contrary, if they just took two knees, they would have won.
Yeah, two knees and it's over.
It just seems like all these coaches are trying to rub it in or something.
Yeah, and I think there's no class to rubbing it in. I understand, you know, you want to beat somebody and you want to beat them soundly, but, you know, for example, that Inglewood high school, the fact that the kid quarterback threw 13 touchdown passes is just way over the top. The fact that you've won a game 49-44, you have a lead, and you decide to fake the kneel down and run for a touchdown. I mean, enough is enough. There is such a thing as losing with class. There's such a thing as winning with class. Right, JV Greg?
No, not really.
You got to be me.
Oh, God, I love McVay.
I love that we have like a whole stable of McVay cuts now.
I know.
Damn right I am.
You got to be me.
No, not really.
We used to never have anything really great in McVay interviews, but we've kind of loosened up a little bit. Now we got really funny stuff, don't we, Coach?
No, not really.
Can we play this stuff for Les Snead, or do you think he'll be upset?
Can we play this stuff for Les?
Direction goes.
You gotta be me.
I think we can play that one, because that's what McVay said.
No, not
when he
really
heard that Von Miller was... Yeah, can we play this stuff for Les?
No, not really.
Not really, okay. Says Coach. The new hosts for Saturday Night Live are out. Did you see them?
No, who are they bringing in?
No, not really.
No, not really. The November 6th episode is Kieran Culkin with Ed Sheeran.
That'll be good.
Kieran Culkin is so damn funny on Succession. He just makes me laugh nonstop on Succession. Did you watch the Sunday one yet? John?
Have I seen what yet?
The Sunday, are you the Sunday Succession?
No, not really.
I'm behind. I saw the first episode, but I haven't seen 2 and 3 yet.
Okay, November 13th is a guy named Jonathan Majors, who I didn't know. He did a movie called The Harder They Fall in Lovecraft County. He's going to be in Creed 3 with Taylor Swift.
Oh, I don't know if she's been on before.
Yeah. See if Les Snead is excited about it. I know he's excited about Von Miller. Les Snead joins us right now, the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams. Les, how you doing, man?
I am good. How about y'all? Y'all seem to be having fun there.
Yeah, well, always, but not as much fun as we hoped your games are going to be, Les. This is a great trade. I mean, I know you've got to wait and see how it plays out, but as far as somebody that's always aggressive and always looking to upgrade the roster, you have somehow done it again. Take us back to the beginning of this. Did you have inklings at the start of the year, or because Vaughn is in a contract year, is this somebody you had an eye on, or is this something that just popped up on your radar recently?
Well, it is interesting. Probably Vaughn in particular, recently. I know we all throughout the year there's chances to trade for different people, but
sure.
I give our team president Kevin Dimoff, our vice president of football admin Tony Pastore, their words of wisdom are always, hey, you sure you don't want to save your final bullet until the end? So that's the wisdom of Kevin Dimoff. Now maybe he had Vaughn in mind, all through it. He was saying, hey, save that last bullet. But I think, you're always aware, you're analyzing who's in their last year of their contract, right, where teams are at, and maybe, different players could be available or not, depending on, right, the phase of their career. So, but sometime late last week, we were able to connect with Denver, and it was not going to be an easy trade based on the constrictions we probably had from a cap standpoint,
right?
And we were able to put our heads together and get creative so that we came up with what we felt was a win-win for both places.
Les Snead, general manager of the Rams, is with us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Last week you made a trade with the Broncos. You traded Kenny Young to the Broncos. Did that sort of open the door for this conversation?
Well, we originally tried to do Kenny for Vaughn, but they said no. No, I was – you know what? I think that trade was independent of that. George and I have a really good relationship. We've probably been, in the league the same amount of time. But I do think anytime you have that type of conversation, there probably is an element where, two or three days later, you can circle back with George and say, hey – let me just run something by you. And George said, you know what? Let us think about that. So I think that's what the Kenny Young trade and being able to not necessarily rekindle the relationship with George, but probably bring it to the forefront.
Les, when you look at Von Miller as a fit for your particular team, obviously this is an 8-time Pro Bowler, a former Super Bowl MVP. But Vaughn, he wreaks havoc on the other team. I mean, but you already have a couple of guys that wreak havoc in Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. How does Vaughn and his skill set fit with your team?
Well, I think, we try to, on both sides of the ball, an attempt to build a team that applies stress and pressure, right, to the opponent, whether it's our offense or whether it's our defense. I think in this particular situation, based on the positions that they do play, right? Aaron's interior and even Leonard Floyd on the outside. We've got two. I mean, someone said this, fact check me on it. I know some of our coaches got texts where, holy cow, y'all lead the league in sacks.
Yep.
And you make the trade for Vaughn. I hadn't fact checked that. Don't really know if we lead the league.
No, it's a fact. I did fact check that. That is, you are the
so
league's
I
leader
know we
in
like
sacks.
I like to apply pressure, but what we have found over the last, a few years, especially with Aaron Donald, is okay. Teams are going to somewhat game plan, right, to put two, even three, sometimes people toward Aaron Donald, right? Really make him work to affect the game. Same a little bit with Leonard Floyd, right? Where you can nowadays offense coordinators are smart, right? They'll leave a tight end in, do some sure. chip blocking with the running back, maybe even a receiver coming down in motion and kind of I call it giving those OLBs a rib shot. So what it does do in simple math is okay. Now you're going to really stress protection, right? Because you got people are going to do with Aaron what they do with Aaron. But now all of a sudden, right, you might have to decide, do you chip both Leonard and Vaughn? And if you do, that's less eligibles out for our DBs to cover, right? So if you don't, there's some one-on-one matchups that we hope to take advantage of. And over the course of a 60-play game, you truly hope that stress, that pressure compounds and creates a few incomplete passes, a few errors, maybe even lead to some turnovers, things like that.
Les, how do you view the draft? I mean, there are certain people out there who've written, giving away too many draft picks and all that stuff. How do you view the draft?
Well, we actually probably contrary to, definitely what the Metasphere thinks, we actually value the draft. I totally understand why. And my teenagers love it, the memes that are out there. And I even have probably a mug on my desk with how I really feel about draft picks. But, here's what I will say. We like to think we're innovative with them. We also know this, even though we've given up some draft picks this year based on what we like to call the comp formula, we expect to get four more picks for next year's draft that aren't on the books right now. We also have one for Brad Holmes in the third round. So we expect to have about eight picks this year. We have one of the younger rosters in football right now. We know a lot of those guys are under contract and will only stay under contract and will only get better. So we're always somewhat managing, okay, how many picks do we have this year? Well, maybe we even have too many, right? And I'm not saying you can never have too many draft picks, but it begins hard to put some of these players to make the roster based sure. on our roster being young and UFA. So, I think the key in that is this, is obviously we have a lot of, let's call it players, right, where people know their name, right? Their household names. They've earned that, right? Whether it's Aaron Donald, whether it's Jalen Ramsey, whether it's Vaughn Miller, whether it's Matt Stafford. But if you look at the totality of our team, right, those contributors, those role players, majority of them were drafted. Or they were players that we really liked in the draft that other teams drafted and then cut and we claimed off waivers. And the key component to that is having that symbiotic relationship with the coaching staff where we know what let's call it skill sets the players need to execute their schemes. They have the confidence in their ability to develop these players and bring them along in our scheme, and they have the courage to count on those players. And I think it takes all of those variables. So the draft's important, and we like to say around here, we believe the sixth round's, as important as the second round.
Yeah, well, you guys have proven it. I mean, look at Cooper Kupp. I mean, he's the best receiver
Van Jefferson.
In football right now. Yeah.
On.
Oh, we're talking to Les Snead, the GM of the Rams. Les, did it factor in at all that Vaughn Miller comes out of that kind of Vic Fangio system that Raheem Morris is familiar with, Brandon Staley came out of that world, that you knew Miller could play within Morris's system? You talked about symbiotic with the coaching staff. Was that part of the reason for making this move, is that you knew the way Morris likes to play is the way Vaughn Miller likes to play?
You definitely can't discount that variable there. Maybe if there was the Hall of Fame rusher that we felt like could continue rushing in another scheme, you'd have still done the trade. But what we do know is because of, all the facts you just mentioned, his transition to our scheme is going to be, let's call it less friction in that transition than some players. So that's a variable that, we looked upon, and I think it wasn't going to be, deal breaker had to be within the scheme, but we did talk about, okay, this is going to be a very smooth transition, considering that we're onboarding him right in the middle of the season, and then there's a little less time to have to go learn an entire new playbook. Because when you are memorizing a new playbook, right, there's going to be that element, right, where you're not totally ready for the spelling bee. You're thinking, and you're not proacting or reacting, and that can bog some players down.
Well, it's an unbelievable try. You know, as a season ticket holder, as a guy who's there every single game, I am so excited. I mean, this is really, I mean, you're sending the message. This is Super Bowl or bust, right?
You know what? Here's what I'll say. We're sending the message is, look, we want to do our part in building a team that applies stress and pressure to the opponents, and with that, win a lot of games around here, not just one game. We're well aware, though, of what our record is. We're well aware of kind of what window we're in and what kind of opportunities this particular window may bring. But our goal and our vision is not just to win one game, but to win a lot of games. And we do know that to kind of get to that point that you're talking about, to get to that peak on that mountaintop, is focus on step nine, week nine here. And if we do our part there, and then we move on to week 10 and then to 11, you know, some good things have a chance of happening.
So last week we had Coach on. He comes on every week. And I asked what is apparently
Mason and Ireland history last.
It's been ridiculed as the worst question in all of human history. So I want to play this moment back and get your reaction to it. But it feels like Stafford might maybe getting a little too cup reliant. Do you know what I mean?
No, not really.
So Les, do you know what I mean?
So what you got to tell me? I couldn't understand. Maybe that's why it was dumb. No one could understand.
Do you think Matt Stafford is getting a little too cup reliant?
Oh, okay, I get it. Cooper Kupp reliant.
Yes,
right.
And how did Sean? You want to replay Sean's answer?
No, yeah. Not really.
No, not really.
I mean, I don't think I can add anything to that. I think that solidifies might be your dumbest question.
Yeah, because Les, as I've continued to point out to Mason, who is the biggest Rams fan here. I mean, he's a Rams season ticket holder. It's unbelievable that if it wasn't working, if for some reason I compared it to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's skyhook. Like, are you becoming too reliant on the skyhook? It works every single time. I mean, if it wasn't working with Cooper Kupp, maybe. But until the other team stops it, it's one of your best weapons, isn't it?
Definitely, right. A major, you know, definitely an impactful weapon. And I do think, right, as teams evolve and try to attempt to defend us, you know, what that does do. And I do know this big picture in Sean's offense. You know, he likes to attack defenses. Some coaches like to, let's call it, have more one-on-one mismatches, right? Tall receiver on shorter corner, things like that. Sean believes in trying to attack defense, probably take what the defense is giving you and go from there. So I think Matt and our other receivers are definitely willing and maybe to an extent excited, right, if that opportunity presents itself to take advantage of those other holes in the defense. So now it's working and we're scoring points. We're moving the ball. We're not punting as much. So let's keep rolling with what we're doing.
So just to confirm, dumb question.
You know, I would actually say this. I'm not saying it's, you know, I'd like to know what your second dumbest question was. You know, I need context to see whether I rank it one or two or three. But, you know, I have to say, you have to take into the variable of how the question was answered, and boy, that was answered with an exclamation point.
Yes,
no,
it certainly
not really.
Yeah,
no,
it
not
certainly
really.
Was. Les Snead, the Rams GM, is choice. Les, if I were to look at this trade in a microscope, two things that I would imagine came up in your office was Von Miller's age, he's 32, and his injury history. Did either one of those give you pause before you pulled the trigger?
You definitely analyzed those. I think I just had a discussion with some of our local writers, but what we have found over time, especially with I use this analogy with players who can impact the rusher, right? A lot of times they're genetically gifted. Mom, dad, God gave them, I like to say it right, they got nine gears and not just your standard five in your car. right? They got a V10 engine, not just a V8, not even a V6. So even as they get a little bit older, they may lose a gear or two, but you know what? They still got a V9 engine and not a V8. And over that time, too, they've garnered a lot of wisdom along the way. So they're not just winning one-on-one matchups based on that talent, right? They've learned, you know, they've learned tricks of the trade, and they almost become, let's call it, more impactful as that kind of wisdom calibrates with that talent. So, but because they were born gifted, a lot of times is, you know what, they guys who can rush the passer seem to play a little bit longer, and we could debate and discuss, probably not debate on why that is, but that's always been a theory of mine.
Yeah. Well, listen, I will be there on Sunday night in my same seats, my season seats. I will be rooting like hell for you. I do ask the occasional dumb question, but I am a true fan, Coach Les.
That's, you know what? We'll definitely take as many fans as possible. Hopefully you're not, you know, all biased.
I am all biased. I am, I am all about the Rams, man. I bought in.
You know what? If it, yeah, we'll take the bias.
Les, this is very nice. I know it's a crazy day for you, and we appreciate you making time for us.
Yeah, congratulations, man.
And most of all, best of luck rest of the way. I know that once you do your job, now everybody else has to do theirs. So I'm sending all my Irish luck your way and hoping you guys run this all the way to the Super Bowl. Great job on this.
Appreciate that. We'll definitely take the luck, you know, that ball bouncing our way. We're not going to turn that luck down.
Amen.
There
Amen.
You go.
Thanks, Les.
Thanks,
Have
Les.
A great day.
There's Les Snead, the general manager who made the biggest deal of the NFL trade deadline, acquiring Von Miller, who is going to be just huge for the Rams. As he pointed out, already lead the league in sacks, and now try doubling Aaron Donald with guys like Jalen Ramsey and Leonard Floyd and now Von Miller chasing after the quarterback. They are going to be really, really good on defense.
And by the way, Mace, this helps everything else. For example, now the other team's quarterback, like Ryan Tannehill's coming in this weekend with the
yes.
Titans. He's got to get rid of the ball quicker because they're going to get to him faster. It's just Von Miller's going to affect every aspect of the game, not just pass rush and not just the blocking. It changes everything.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, we're juggling things around. We're going to do jump ball coming up next for you. Don't forget 3:30. Lie of the day. If you can figure out what the lie is or was, you can win a pair of tickets to be there Sunday night. The debut of Von Miller, Rams versus Titans at SoFi Stadium, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.